Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome everyone to Rock That Relationship and our season all about friendships. We are really exploring a lot of the in-depth pieces of what friendship looks like, from kind of making friends to keeping friends to, you know, dealing with conflict with friends. But today's episode is super interesting because it's about friendships to relationships, right? Taking friendship to the next level. And so we know that this happens with a lot of folks because actually, according to an article, and I'll put in the show notes, an article from Psychology Today, there's actually a study that found that about 68% of romantic relationships came from a previous friendship. Yeah. So pretty high number. You know, but here's three different types of friendships to relationships, because that 68% includes all of them. So one of them is you're interested in dating someone, but you agree to be friends first. So maybe you even met on an app, a dating app, and you're both like, let's just be friends for like 6 months and then we'll see where it goes. So that's kind of like the intentional friendship.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit different.
Like they were on a dating app, like to date. And then they were like, well, let's just see if we can be friends. And then we'll see. Like, that's kind of like cheatery. I mean, I would think when they say 68%, I thought that was shocking because I don't think that bears out in my experience of people I know, but like that you're friends, like legit friends first. And then suddenly you're like, let's date, you know?
Right. Friends without like the intention.
Dating. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. This is like you make a friend with the intention of eventually dating. But the second one is like a short-term friend or acquaintance. Like maybe you were friends for a couple months and then it morphs into dating. So that's pretty common too. So maybe you didn't have an intention of dating right away, but after a very short period of time, you're like, yeah, we should probably date. And then there's the other one, the other group that's like long-term friendships. Maybe you've been friends with someone for like 15 years and then you look at each other longingly one day and you're like, we should be in a romantic relationship. And so I know that the 68% you're talking about probably makes it look like it's that last group of people. Like you've been friends forever. Right. You had no intention of dating. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're romantically involved. Yeah.
Well, but that's not what they mean.
No, that's not
necessarily. I mean, those people would be included.
Right, exactly. They would be included in that. So, I mean, we can talk about all three of the different ways of, you know, these friendships to relationships. And, you know, this is really good because it follows on with our episode that we just had with Alisa Kriegel, where we talked a lot about the importance of friendship as the basis of a relationship. And so this is certainly one way to do it. You can build a friendship while you're in a relationship with someone, but you can also have a friendship prior to a relationship with someone that carries into that. So have you ever experienced one of these where you were friends first in one of these three capacities?
Nope.
Nope. So everybody you've dated, you just like met and went on a date with, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine. I know like right away whether, and I like, you asked me at some point if I ever got a vibe, not a vibe from you, because I never have, thank God, nor did you get a vibe from me.
I did not. I've never had a vibe from you.
Let's make that clear.
I've never given you a vibe.
Yeah, but remember when that lady, that tarot card reader, like, I was like, I had to stop the session. I'm like, whoa, do you think that we're talking about us here? Because we're not.
Well, you say, there were some gagging sounds. Yeah. There were some things that were, I was like, no, we're not.
But remember?
Like, blah, blah.
I know, but then we went hiking and I said, have you ever been into me? And you're like, no. And I'm like, wait, we asked each other the question. Now I forgot who said what, but we both asked each other and we were both grossed out. So just so everybody knows, because people, when we used to hike a lot, would always say, oh, are you and Corey dating? And I'm like, no.
Remember that? There was one podcast, or the message I got about the podcast from someone who was like, I listened to the podcast and I think you're, you know, really great. I'd love to get to know you better. And I was like, I not get to know you better. I don't even know who you are. And then before I could even respond, I got a message that said, you know, I'm sorry. And now I'm realizing you and Tracy are together and I don't want to like get in the way of that. And I'm like, oh God, no.
Yeah.
Oh God, no.
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 So no, but I've never had that situation with anybody. And if I ever even got a vibe, like even on a, if I went on a date and it was like, no, this is not, I'm not doing that, I then do things to like repel them immediately.
Like what? What do you do to repel them?
Like on one date, I was what, long time ago in the 90s. Didn't I tell you the story? Like, I was like, this is not it for me. So I started, I think I pretended I was a Republican or something. And I just started saying all kinds of things. So then when I ran into that person at an event, they were like, oh, I'm surprised to see you here, like a political thing. And I'm like, why? Because I completely forgot what I had done.
Oh like, my goodness. Well, that is like one repulsion strategy.
Or then I like whatever they like, I start like, oh God, I hate that. Or, ugh, you know, like, because I don't want like, I don't, not one of those people who wants people wanting me. That's so gross. Like, no. Yeah.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, okay.
Why? So has this ever happened to you?
Yes, actually, let's see, not the first one, but the second two. Have happened to me. Actually everybody I've been with in a long-term relationship started out as friends first.
Everyone
but one. The first person I was with was, we were camp counselors together and we were friends all summer long. And, you know, I didn't even know I was gay. And then all of a sudden I was. And so that morphed into something. We were together for a long time. I think it was almost 2 years. And then the second person, we were friends for about a year and we were on a trip to Mexico and, we ended up getting together on this trip. I didn't see it coming at all. But we were just friends. And then we were together for like a year and a half. And then the third one, we were friends. I was in California. We were friends because we were like the only people around our age group that were lesbians. And we just would hang out and just do stuff together. I wasn't looking to date. She wasn't looking to date anybody. We just kind of hung out. And then after about 4 or 5 months, we're like, oh, maybe we should go out on a date. You know, it wasn't like we had this like strong chemistry for each other. It was kind of like, we're both alive. Yeah.
Right.
So, and then we were together for a couple of years. We lived together. And then my ex that I was with the longest, we actually met when she was 19 and I was 21. And we knew of each other. We weren't really good friends, but we were social acquaintances and we knew of each other for a couple of years. Split, you know, went off on our directions for 5 years and then came back together and almost immediately got together. So we weren't strangers. And then the next person was a little person that we just went like on a date. It was like, boom. Mm-hmm. And then I was with somebody for, this sounds horrible because I just keep going through the laundry list. I'm 52 years old, listeners. Please understand I've had a long life so I can have multiple relationships.
Funny, it's funny because earlier you said, oh, we were together a long time, 2 years. And I was thinking, oh my God.
So well, 2 years.
That's a very short time.
Well, maybe, yeah. But some of them I lived with, you know. And so then I had, after that person, I was with someone who we were friends for about 6 weeks and then decided to go on a date. And so that was kind of more like we were hanging out probably because we were eventually going to date. But so those were the ones that I guess they all kind of fit into that bucket too, the short-term friends or acquaintances that just morphs into dating. None of them were really like really super long-term friendships that it was just like, we want to be together because we're friends until my most recent person where we have had a pretty significant friendship for a while. And we met a couple of years before we started dating and then hung out on and off and then hung out a lot. Probably 6 months prior to dating, we just hung out a lot. We were both going through breakups and it was tricky. And so we hung out and decided one day to go, you know, go out on a date.
I mean, much to my shock.
Oh, you were so struggling with it.
I was in complete shock. Yes.
Okay. Why were you in shock?
I think because like in my mind, you're friends, right? Like I haven't really experienced this even. I mean, I've never experienced it in my own personal life, but I haven't experienced it really amongst friends in groups of friends before either. Like, so I was, it's like, I don't know, the way I am, very sort of black and white or like, you know, everything has a place and it's like, you're friends. Like what? Like, I just didn't think changing from friends to that. It was shocking to me. It actually shocked me, as you know, like.
But did it shock you because it was a friend or did it shock you because of who it was?
No, No, because it was a friend. Because I'm like, you're friends. I mean, yeah, you were both single, but you had known each other when you were in relationships. And I just, it's like my mind could not wrap itself around that. I like it's it was so wrong to me. I mean, it got over it in like what, a month, but like it was incorrect. I was like, I don't know, it just freaked me out. It was weird. It seemed, yeah, that you were defying like what the roles already were,
Right.
you
Well,
know,
and I had
like
never done
I am
that
the
before, like where
yeah.
I'd had a really good friendship and changed it.
Right.
Like I've had them where, again, a few months or something, or we kind of or we were more acquaintances, but to have somebody who was a really good friend change into like a relationship, it was I couldn't get my head around it either. And because I, it's funny, I have another friend of mine that when I was single, she was saying to me, "My gosh, you have so many lesbian friends, and they're like attractive and they're successful and they're stable and they're really nice. Like, why aren't you dating these people?" And my answer to her was, "Because they're friends.
Right.
Like, I friend zoned them very early on, or else I'd walk around constantly attracted to everybody that I hung out with, and I don't want to do that." So it was like,
Well,
nope.
okay, so did you friend zone them, or is that just the way you naturally felt?
I
You know
mean,
what I
I know I
mean?
was
Like,
never attracted to any of them in that way ever. So I didn't like change it or anything, but I just blocked it from the very beginning. I'm like, I just determined like I'm going to be friends with you, and that's it. I didn't even give anything a chance to brew.
Well, and the person that you're with now, you were friends with, and you both were in relationships, but
And
it's
we.
it also it's not anything that ever crossed my mind. It's not like, oh, I got some vibes. And I, you know, I consider myself a claircognizant, you know, like
You didn't
clairvoyant,
get
but
vibes
clair
about her and
knowing.
I, you mean? Or you
No,
didn't.
never, you two. I never got
No,
vibes about the two of you ever.
because we didn't have that attraction at that point. We were both
Right.
in relationships, and it was
But how
like,
does that happen where then detraction just evolves, you know?
well, we had a couple significant moments where it got a little confusing, and so I think that's part of what happened. So one of the big things was that I kept telling everybody, particularly this last summer, that whoever I date has to read my book because they have to know my story, because I'm going to be out the next year just basically proselytizing my message in my book, and they're going to feel really crappy about themselves if they read this
Right.
book, a love story, and then
Right.
they're going to have to sit there and be like, oh gosh, and so
Right.
I was like, I don't know who's going to date me. I'm gonna have to wait till the book stuff settles down. And then so I had a friend who I was like, I really need some beta readers to like give me some feedback. And she's like, I'll read it. And I'm like, okay, cool. So she read it and loved it. And so I didn't even think much of it, like, oh, okay, well, I could date her 'cause she's cool with the book. But
Right.
we sort of bonded over the book, and it was
Right.
shortly thereafter that we ended up on a hike. And the two of us were hiking, and she's a real avid hiker and like super fit, and like doesn't have issues hiking long distances. And
Right.
so we went on this hike that was not very challenging, and it wasn't very hot out. And after about 4 miles, she got incredibly sick, and I had a hard time getting her off the trail. She was so sick, and there was no rescue able to get in there. I just had to physically find a way to get her off the trail. She had pretty bad heat stroke. So she's, I'm trying to coax her off the trail. Finally, I mean, after like 2 hours, we make it like the final 0.9 miles, get her to the ranger station, try to get her body cooled down. Ended up rushing her in my car to the hospital in a tiny little town, and it was a little 8-bed hospital. And we went in there, and she was really, really not doing well. And terrified me. And we were there for about 8 hours, 8 or 9 hours. Well, they, I mean, gave her IVs and medicines and had to check, and she had some heart stuff going on, and it was very scary. And we left there, and so we had these kind of two significant moments of connection. One was that she had read my book, and then shortly thereafter, we had this like trauma bonding through this hike where I was really concerned about her. So we end up, shortly thereafter, she sends me a text, and she was like, I just want to let you know I think I'm the epitome of your manifest, or you manifested me or something. And I was like, what is she talking about? I don't know what she's talking about. Like my love manifest.
Right.
I'm like, okay. 'Cause you remember I was on the phone with you and that text came in,
Right,
and I was like,
right,
what is this? And I can't remember if she
right,
read the book and we hiked and then she read the book. Either way, both of
right.
them happened like
I
within
think
days.
you hiked and then she read the book.
Okay.
It was
Maybe.
very close, though. It was like within the couple weeks.
It was in,
but
within,
I think
yeah.
the hike did something, which is interesting because knowing this person, that's like shocker, right? Like a total shocker. Because
right.
I've done hard hikes with her, and that's like a baby hike that you guys were doing. And yet, when I was with you that one time, I became sick and I had to lay down, and then I had to go down. I couldn't even wait for you to come back down. And I mean, you didn't leave me in the wilderness. We were on a heavily hiked trail, and I suddenly was just so nauseous, you know?
Right.
And then I thought I was so sick. Right. And so that was surprising that that happened. So if you look at it in the means of like the universe has to make things happen in order to create feelings or situations, like you two were meant to be together. So you wouldn't have come to that any other way unless you had like a super emotional bonding experience, which
right.
the hike and the book was.
Yeah, together they were just both in tandem. And the interesting part about it was on the day of the hike, I mean, we're such avid hikers. We were going to go in the morning and then we had a 2-hour drive to come back. And I had a meeting at 3:00. I was meeting with a shaman, and the shaman was going to clear my space and clear my soul for me to maybe open myself up to start dating again. Not anybody in particular, but just open myself up. So the whole time we're chatting on this hike about, we got to hurry back. We got to, you know, I got to get to the shaman so I can start dating again. And then she's like, you know, getting sick on the trail. And she's like, I'm so sorry. You're going to miss your shaman. You're not going to be able to start dating again. And I'm like, well, I'll just have to reschedule with her. I mean, maybe it wasn't the right time to date right now.
But interesting. You remember I said you're never going to make it back in time for that meeting. Do you remember?
I know. Well, and I didn't. I mean, I didn't get back. I was at 3:00. I didn't get back.
But it
like
was
midnight.
If it was a dating thing, then the universe had to do something drastic to get your attention and to stop you from doing that.
From dating anybody else. Because remember, I couldn't get another meeting set up with her for a few weeks, the shaman. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I won't date. And then during that time, someone expressed interest in me. And I was like, I don't know. And so it was almost like that shaman thing was another message from the universe. And then,
mm-hmm. Well, a roadblock to yep. not going, it was stopping you from going down the wrong path.
Right, because I was about to go down the wrong path. And that right. shaman didn't necessarily inadvertently stop me by itself,
right.
but it was a factor. And so I just remember her crying, like, I'm so sorry, you're not going to get to go start dating again because of the shaman. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're sick. We're going to the hospital. Let's go. So it was,
right.
So she sent me that text and I was like, you know, I said, are you joking with me? Is this for real? Like, I don't know. And she just like, I'm just saying like what the elephant in the room is. And I was like, okay, I don't know what's happening here. And so I responded
right.
with like, I'm not sure if this is tongue in cheek or not, but you know, today's a really hard day. My daughter's leaving for Germany for the year today and I'm just struggling and I could really use a friend. And I don't know what this text exchange is, but I really could use your friendship right now. And so she wrote me back. She's like, no, I was just joking with you. I'm not ready to date anybody. And I'm like, okay. And then I thought, well, if you're just joking, what if I had said, yeah, I'm madly in love with you. And then like, we were totally stuck.
I know. So we went over and over and over all the scenarios of the possibility of the outcomes, the realities of that. Yeah. We spent a lot of time on that.
Right. And so I was like, okay. So that was weird. So she and I went hiking a few days later. And then, I asked her, I said straight up, like, if that was a joke, what were you going to do if I said I was interested? And she got kind of sheepish and was like, mm-hmm. I didn't think that far. I'm like, okay, something's not right here. We've since confirmed that
right.
she was trying to save face and.
Right. She had put herself out there. Like, and that's the other thing that's so risky with the friend is like putting yourself out there.
Right.
And I was in total shock.
That she had put herself out there with me?
Well, yeah, that this was even happening. So
I know,
imagine like you were, yeah. So, I mean, you were surprised. I was totally shocked. And so like, I think if a person is going to make a move like that, they got to just commit.
Right. Just, yeah. Say it. Cause I'm like, at that point,
yeah,
there's part of me
like,
that wishes she would have just been like, I thought maybe, you know, we could explore something, but I totally understand if you're not interested, but she was afraid she would like, I would get weird and
yeah.
You know, and right at that point in time, she and I were closer friends than either of us were with probably anyone else in our lives,
right.
Just the timing of things. And the thought of losing our friendship was really tricky. So, yeah, so we ended up hanging out a ton more, and we, you know, for another, it was about 6 weeks, and we had gone in that 6 weeks since the text. We had gone to the Grand Canyon and done an overnight, and of course, nothing happened. We're just friends. She took the day off on my birthday and spent the entire day with me from before sunrise to after sunset, and it was wonderful because I was going to spend my birthday by myself, and she took the day off, and we went hiking all day. And again, you said to me, like, what kind of friend takes like a whole day off work to spend with someone with a birthday?
Exactly.
And I was
not
like,
even my know. Me. I'm your good friend, and I wouldn't do it.
I know. And I was like, oh, I don't know. But there was a point in time though, because I had already developed some feelings by that point. But it was interesting,
yes,
because
had.
On Labor Day was the day that it happened for me. We had decided to go do this downtown like hike. It's kind of an urban hike, and we walked around and looked at all these really cool historical things.
We call that a walk.
It's called the Turquoise Trail. Have you ever been on it?
Oh, really cool. No, but it's a walk. Go on.
Well, but anyways, they label it and mark it. It's pretty cool. So anyways, it's right. Called, either way, whatever. We ended up doing this thing, and then we ended up at a restaurant, a Mexican food restaurant, and we're sitting there, we're talking, and she reaches over and grabs the salt shaker. And granted, we've been out to eat many, many times, and she grabs a salt shaker, and she's like, do you mind if I salt the chips? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd love if you salted the chips. I always pull one chip out at a time and salt it and then eat it because nobody wants salt on the chips. And she's like, I love salt.
Is that why you do that?
Yeah.
I've seen you do that. I'm like, what is she doing?
It's because I don't want to like get
put
salt,
the
all
salt
over.
On the chip.
I don't know if everybody else wants salt on the chip, so I don't do that.
Well,
so,
they're not at a Mexican restaurant. They have fears of salt. Okay, go on.
So anyways, we're eating these, and I was like, I just had this like moment of endearment with the salt on the chips thing. And I was like, okay. And then we were laughing, and I was like, I am not dating a friend. I am not dating a friend. And she was like, okay, well, don't. She goes, you know, but I don't know. I mean, how's it all working out for you with other people that are interested? I'm like, okay, well, okay, maybe I should date a friend then. And we were joking about it and laughing. And there was this moment where she like leaned back in her chair a little bit and had this smile, and it lit up everything. And it was like, I call it the piano moment. The piano fell out of the sky, dropped on my head, and said, what the F are you doing? Why are you not together with this person? And all of a sudden, it just was like floodgates, and it just came bursting out. And then I couldn't hold it together during dinner. I was like, what is happening to my body? What's happening to my soul? And we walked out after dinner, and I was like, I kind of feel like I want to hug you goodbye tonight. And we've never hugged before. And she was like, I didn't think you were a hugger. I'm like, I'm a hugger. She's like, well, I'm a hugger too. I'm like, well, then we should hug. And we're like, well, let's hug. So we hugged, and then I left, and I was like, oh my gosh, what on earth is happening? And from that point on, I was like, I was, the best way to describe it is I was bursting. I was bursting inside my skin. And then but I couldn't do anything about it because she had told me she wasn't interested, right? Like, it was just a joke. And I'm like,
when, What did I say?
I don't remember. What did you say?
I said she wasn't joking. She's trying to save face, and she's into you. And nobody takes a whole day off and spends it with somebody and then goes hiking, then goes to eat, goes and does this and goes and does that, unless they're into you. So just say something.
I know. Well, I finally did, but it was kind of silly how the whole thing happened. But so I spent the next couple of weeks, the next few weeks, just like crawling inside my skin, just trying to get out, like, oh my God, oh my gosh. Like, and in that time we went to the Grand Canyon, and that time we hung out and did a ton of hiking, and that time my birthday was, we went kayaking with a meetup kind of group, and we went kayaking, and I just couldn't get myself together. I was having a really hard time holding it together. And then finally I talked to a friend of mine, and I was like, cause we were all going to go out to dinner on my birthday night. And I was like, and she said, okay, you have to tell her, Corey. And I was like, I can't tell her. I can't tell her on my birthday, because if she rejects me on my birthday, I'll remember this for the rest of my life. And she's like, just tell her. She goes, so then I have an idea. I'll say something. I'll broker the deal. And I was like, what are you going to say? And
she is an instigator.
Yes, she is. And so she's like, I'm just going to say, like, oh my gosh, you two would be great together. And I was like,
and walk off.
And I was like, well, it sounds kind of staged, because it wasn't like shocking. And so, but anyways, we agreed for her to do that. So we get out after the dinner. She was going to do it after dinner in the parking lot, so she could drop this bomb, like, hey, why aren't you two together? And then be like, I got to run. And then, so she says, hey, when are you going to start dating again, Corey? And then she asks this person, when are you going to start dating again? And she goes, oh, you know what? We would be perfect for each other. Like she had just thought about it. I mean, she's one of my best.
Right.
Come on. And so she was, and we just all three stood there and she didn't walk off.
And didn't leave.
And then I just had a deer in the headlights look. The other person was like, we're just adventure buddies. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then she said, oh, how was the Grand Canyon? And then this other person's like, oh, cool. You want to see pictures? So we stood in the parking lot. Well, she showed pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then she showed pictures of like the hike we did that day. And I was like, you're supposed to leave. And then guess what ended up happening? We did this for 20 minutes and then the other person left. And then I ended up standing with my friend in the parking lot going, why the heck didn't you leave? Now it's super awkward.
Yeah. What did she say? Why didn't she leave? She wanted to see what she hath brought.
I don't even know why she didn't leave. She just stood there and I was like, no, you have to leave. That was the
whole point. It doesn't work that way. You're supposed to drop the bomb and walk off.
Right. She dropped the bomb and then looked at a photo album.
Stood there.
Like, okay. So then the next day I was like, oh gosh, I got to fix this. I don't know what is happening here. So I texted this person, my friend at the time, not the bomb dropper, but the other one. And
right.
I said, hey, can you chat later? And then I waited like 30 seconds and I wrote, on the phone. And we'd never talked on the phone before. And so she was like barfy all day. She's like, oh, gosh,
she wasn't talking about what is going on
the
exactly.
phone. So I called later that day
on
and
phone.
I was like, hey, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, what so-and-so said last night. And she was expecting me to say, like, I want to reiterate, we
like
are
how
just
awkward.
Friends.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That was weird. Sorry about that. We are just friends.
Right.
But instead, I was like, well, I've been thinking about it, and I think she's right. We are the perfect match. And I was like, it felt like 20 minutes went by. It was like 1 millisecond. But I was sitting there. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then,
is that actually what you said that came out of your mouth?
Yeah, I said, I really think she is right. We are the perfect match. I mean, it's definitely not romantic by any stretch.
What? That is romantic. What are you talking about?
Well, like that. Okay, fine.
That
someone else is right. Not
no,
like
no,
I'm interested in you.
See? No, that is romantic. That is a romantic story. Go on.
So, okay. So then she finally says something back. She goes, okay. And she's like, all right, well, I'm interested too, or something like that. And I was like, you are? I didn't know if you really were, because I thought the whole thing was like a joke this summer. And she's like, well, I was just trying to save face. I totally have feelings for you. And I was like, well, me too. What are we supposed to do next? And she goes, well, I think we're supposed to go on a date. I said, a date? Okay. And then I'm trying to wrap my head around like going on a date with my hiking friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like getting myself.
Oh, I remember.
Oh my gosh. I'm getting caught up in my head about it. And then, so we agreed to go on a date and it was going to be like 4 or 5 days from then. And so we ended up going on this date and it was basically just like us hanging out like we normally would. And we went downtown and we went to dinner and then we walked around downtown and we just had a lot of fun. We always have fun. We could have fun in a cardboard box. I finally met my match. And so we're like, well, do you want to come back over to my house? We can sit out on the patio and talk. So we went back to my house and, you know, there was no physical anything, like no holding hands, mm-hmm. nothing. It was just like hanging out like buds.
Right.
And then we get back to my house and we were sitting outside on my patio set. And you remember this story. This is so great. So she's at one end of the L sectional and I'm at the other end and we're talking and then she's like, are you nervous? And I said, well, I wasn't until now because we're almost at the end of the night. And like, this is where things change from friends to not friends. And I'm super nervous about this. And she's like, well, I'm nervous too. And I'm like, well, what should we do? And she's like, maybe we should kiss. And I was like, okay. She goes, well, you're going to have to come closer. It's really hard to do it from this far. And I was like, oh, okay. So I scooted down and then like, we both went in for the kiss and we bonked heads and it was a total disaster. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And then she's like, okay, well, why don't we try that again? I'm like, okay. And we did it again. And then it worked. And then she was, the first words out of her mouth was that like kissing your sister? And I replied, I don't have a sister. And so that was it. It wasn't anything like crazy sparkly, like, you know, the heavens opened up at that moment, but it was really cool. And it was like quintessentially perfect for what, you know, the lead up to that was. And so
Well, and the heavens have since opened up, and you've just said this is your perfect match.
This is my person, 100%. I mean, yeah. Unless you're listening to this in 30 years and then I'm a hypocrite, but I don't think that's the case. I really feel it deep down.
You wouldn't be a hypocrite. You'd be a fool.
I'd be a fool. But I this person is my person, 100%. And it's been really cool. And we've talked about it even up to yesterday. We were talking about this idea of like, if we have chemistry or we have friendship, but we have both, and we're like, we have both, and it's through the roof for both of them. Absolutely through the roof. I mean, she's the first person I want to see in the morning. The first person I want to talk to. She's the first person I want to tell things to. She's so easy to talk to. We have the best conversations and we have so much fun. Just even intimacy, everything, all of it is fun. It's the whole package. I've never imagined it like this in my whole life. But we have this really amazing foundation of friendship that I think has really made a difference for us. Because sometimes what we'll be doing is we'll be hanging out and we'll be all lovey-dovey and then we'll slip into like friend mode and we're like just chit-chatting and we're like, you know, in this space where we're like more like old buddies. And it's so funny. And we're like, wait a minute, we're friend zoning each other right now. Hold on. And then we come out of it and it's kind of funny because we can literally feel it shift. But it's cool to be able to have a friendship beneath all of this.
But why can't it be that your relationship is like, why is it friend zoning? I mean, are you literally like bro and tapping him around the shoulder?
Kind of stuff like that. Yeah.
Bro.
I mean, not bro, but you know, it's the conversation shifts to something more like that. And it's like, we can feel it. And then we're like, oh, wait a minute. And it's fine. Cause it's, you know, it's like a part of who we are, but it's just. Yeah, it's the foundation of everything is this friendship. And so that's a long story, but I think it's pretty interesting. And I think
it's a great story.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, I think that
I've since come to accept this fact.
Accept it. You can't even go beyond acceptance and embracing of this fact.
No, I do embrace it. I'm saying I'm a 100% supporter. And I sent that to you early on. I did say to both of you though, that like, I will not talk about either of you. Like in the beginning, I told both of you, I'm not talking about the other one because I don't want to be in the middle. And then I didn't know if I had to always text you both at the same time, like a group chat. You know, that was what I think was weird for me as well. Like, how do I navigate that? Because I even asked you recently if I was all right with you if I texted her because.
Yeah.
You know, it was information you told me because I've been friends with her. So it's like, I wouldn't have known that information if you hadn't told me, but yet, like, I don't want to feel like I'm ever saying something that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be in the middle. And it wasn't bad information. It was nothing bad, but it was like updates about her family situation. So,
well, and she had already told you all about it. So I hadn't broached that. So, I mean, you were just asking if you could check in with her. And I was like, you can do whatever you want. You two are friends. So, you know, we're really.
But is that weird for you?
No, not even a little bit.
Because that's what I think was one of my biggest things at first was weird. No. But I was very clear with you, like, I'm not going to talk about either one of you or your relationship with either one of you unless it's together.
Yeah, well, we're not.
And it's never been either. A problem. Or, no. Exactly.
And if you want to reach out to her and ask her to go on a hike and don't ask me, that's fine. That's your friendship. You had a friendship before she and I had a relationship.
But like, you know, you and I talked a lot. And obviously we have a podcast and we've talked a lot about past our relationships when we were in them. So, you know, it just turns out that now for you and for me, we're in these very great relationships that we don't need to do what we were doing before, which was constantly discussing the problems, you know? So,
right.
It's interesting because that hasn't happened. But, you know, when I met my wife, it was 1 year ago, actually, a year ago. And that was on Facebook dating. And I think she said, we could meet and just be friends because she thought I would not be into her. And then we met. And then I asked her out on a date to go play pickleball after we had met on a Friday night. I gave a lesson to her and her kids at pickleball. Then I asked her to play pickleball. And then when I dropped her off at home, I like scooched towards the door because I didn't want to seem like perv or something or do something like, you know, seemed like I was some kind of creep that was gonna like, oh, we went on a date, therefore I'm gonna try and make out with you or something. So she thought I was like, oh, yeah, like I'm not interested in this woman. And so she like practically rolled out the door. Like she
Yeah, I
opened the
remember
car door and
that
was
night.
out. I know. And then I'm like, practically ran to her house. I'm like, bye. I was like, I really messed that up. Well, Ari was like, oh, that didn't go well. And then the next morning, she actually brought her dog over at 5 a.m. to that we could walk our dogs together. And I'm thinking, well, why does someone bring their dog over at 5 a.m. to see them on a date? And then I know, but then it had to be set explicitly. And I still have this text. I still have a screenshot of it. She's like, I find you very attractive. And then I called you and I'm like, what do you think that means? Do you think that means like she just thinks like she's just telling me that to give me an ego boost in the world or whatever? And so that night I came over it like with, I put flowers in a like a Nalgene bottle. And so I'm like, I guess I have to make it really clear what my intentions are. So it was funny because we actually sat down and went through a book that was like happily single and went through the checklist. Were we happily single? And then I was like I held her hand. I'm like, are you sure then you want to do this? And she said, yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
So I mean, you could say we were friends.
For
We
like
weren't ever
one half a
friends. Yeah,
second.
exactly.
One half a second. And you met on a dating app, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I kind of think, I mean, every relationship's going to have its ups and downs because it just does. But I think when you're with the right person, you have less of those. And
It's
I,
like
you know,
different. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I've been torn up with people before and really messed up and confused and upset and all sorts of things. And I've been, with my person now for a while, and it's not like that. It's just not. It's like, we always say to each other that loving you is as easy as breathing. It like takes like no effort. You just do it because it just happens. And whereas love, I know people say love is a verb and like you have to like actually, do actions to show love. And I agree with that. But I also know that the feeling of love sometimes is effortful if you're not trying to love the right person, and you're trying to convince yourself that they're the right person and you're reminding yourself to love them. And I actually had one relationship many, many years ago where whenever we would get into some kind of a tiff, I would hum to myself, like in my head, the song, "If you can't be with the one you want, love the one you're with." Because it would just get me through, like, just love the one you're with, get it together, Corey, love this person. And I'm, with, my current person, and I'm just like, that's not even a thing. Like, why in the world? Like, I love this person more than I've loved anyone in my whole life. And I know that she feels the same way. And it's a kind of an, in some ways, like you could
And you're
probably,
not doubting it.
no, not
You're not
even,
wondering. You're not
no.
like, oh, is this happening?
It's
Right?
just, no, I just like, I'm just sure. I was very sure from the moment we got together, I was very sure. We became exclusive one week in because it was like, who else are we going to date? Like, you're the person I want to be with. And we already knew each other so much. And then, she's been such a champion with the book and supporting me with the book. And like, she knew everything. And like, we just know each other's stuff. We know each other. And
Well, and why I'm just not, I mean, that would be weird if you were dating other people.
yeah, well, it would be weird. Yeah. So, but it's funny because from the outside, like from you, like your perspective, it's probably weird that we're dating because we were friends. But like, but now that you know both of us and you can see like how we show up in this world, like we're so compatible.
But I never, all the time like that we were friends, I never thought that. Like that didn't go into my head,
Yeah. Yeah. And I,
That
I,
never occurred to me at
Did,
all.
didn't occur to me either, but we like show up in the world the same way. And it's funny because I told you so many times, I'm like, if I could just meet someone, I don't need a yin to my yang. I don't need a calm to my storm. I need someone who wants to just grab the bull by the horns, try to fit 17 things in during the weekend, hardly sleep, go big, go bold, and live their life. And I'm tired of people telling me to relax, calm down, sit still, meet someone who will balance you out. I've tried that. It sucked. Like the person didn't suck, but that trying to do that in my life and
Does
like,
not work for you.
no, I needed someone who's gonna also do those things with me. And I found the perfect person who just goes out and makes it happen. And
She goes on your hikes.
I go on hers. We go on
Your
each other's.
meet, no, your meetup
Oh
hikes, though.
yeah. She goes on all those things. We do all, it's like we're constantly doing stuff.
And I think my lucky stars for her.
Yeah. Why? Because I'd be so.
I don't have to be dragged along. No, I don't have to be dragged along to these things anymore. I'm like, thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because she's social.
Yeah,
she's
she likes to go on all of your stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She hosts things too. And so it's such a great match. We're like a adventure power couple. Like, it's pretty cool.
But see, that's the thing. We had this discussion in LA, and when we went to the WeHo Pride, which was not, I liked it. I thought, I'm not one, I don't drink. I'm not into scantily clad people, but it was like, oh, the atmosphere is fun. Right. But you were like talking to some plant lady. You were talking about literal plants. And I'm like, okay, this is fun.
They had a booth. Who has a booth with like seed starters at it? It was so weird. At Pride. And it was busy. Like, everybody's putting seed starters in their bag. I was like, you're going to get dirt all over yourself.
LA, nonetheless, where people aren't really having yards. It was strange. But it was more our discussion after we went to that very expensive and not so great vegan restaurant that was so... It was an Italian restaurant that was so dark. You had to use your phone to see the menu.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
We used the phone to even see our food. We couldn't even see
it. I know. It was so dark in there. It's really weird. But, of course, we were done with the Pride. We were like, an hour and a half after we got there? 2 hours. And then it was our discussion on the way back to our hostel where you literally, like, cried it out. And I'm like, just what is it that you want? What is it that you're so upset about? And it was that walk that let you verbalize to yourself and the universe what you were actually looking for. And it isn't that you didn't want to be with someone different than you. You didn't want, mm-mm. You needed somebody to match your energy, your like desire to do things, your, you know, willingness to do meetup hikes and things like. And it was somebody who would show up and show that they cared and that you didn't have to do all the work. And that's what you ended up with. Mm-hmm. You got exactly what you asked for.
Exactly. Well, and the irony is that when we went to WeHo Pride, it was, you know, I had gone just, you know, like a week before on a hike with her, not even thinking that she could be that person, you know, and
And you even had your thing about you're going to date 50 people. So you didn't even have to date any.
I didn't. I just fell into this and this was fantastic. And, but, you know, so this was one of those stories where, you know, it works out. Right. And like, my plan is to be with her for the rest of my life. I don't anticipate anything else happening, but, I know people have been with friends and then they've ended up, you know, either they make a move and they get rejected or they get together and then it doesn't work out and they're no longer friends. So, I mean, it is risky business.
Right. Well, it's risky to put, yes, am I going to lose this friend? I mean, doing business with, or dating, those are probably the two things that could ruin friendships, you know?
Yeah, right. And I mean, and if you start dating a friend and then you break up, even if it's amicable, it's like hard to go back to what you had before. I mean, you've already crossed the line. So what do you do?
And then it's weird. It'd be weird, right? Like, it'd be just too much weirdness.
But then if you're like, you want to be with this person and they want to be with you, I mean, is it worth trying? I mean, in my case, I'd say, heck yeah. I mean, there was nobody else I would want to be with besides the person I'm with. And I knew that night that my proverbial piano hit me at the Mexican food restaurant when I realized that. And it was like, I don't want to be with anybody else. And I can't.
Salt shakers often have that effect on people.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I didn't say anything to her that night, but I had already crossed the line in my head and my heart. There was no going back. I could not put the genie back in the bottle. I tried to for the next couple of weeks and I was like, I was losing my mind. And so even without saying something, I'd already crossed the line.
Right.
And it wasn't going to go back to the way that it was. And, you know, she had had those feelings for a lot longer than I had.
Well, there's your feel good story.
Right, where the
it all worked out and you weren't in relationships and there was no weirdness or crossover or anything while you were in relationships, you know, there was
no
a longing, which people do have that, and that's really unfortunate, you know.
Right. I know we were totally above board. We went back and looked at all of our old messages from years, from a few
But
years
even
ago.
if you
We're like,
weren't
no.
above board, even if it was just a feeling and you never acted on, like you can't help that. But that's saying
Right.
what happened. You
No,
know
it
what I mean?
didn't. No, we were just like, hey, let's go hiking. And that was pretty much
All
it. And
right.
then we lost touch for a little while in the middle. We both got busy with life and did things and then kind of came circled back around together about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and started hanging out incessantly because we're both, out of relationships and sort of had a lot of discretionary time. It was like, oh, you want to hike? And we're both coming into summer. We both had summers off. It was kind of easy to do that. But well, let's talk about if like, you said you've never, had any kind of feelings for a friend, and I've had it this one time where I could say it was actually like a real friendship, not just like an acquaintanceship. But have you ever had it where like a friend has been interested in you and said something and you're like, oh my gosh, and then had to like, basically reject them?
I don't think so. I mean, I no, I don't think. I mean, if I ever got an inkling of that, I would shut it down. Like, I wouldn't do it in a way that they'd know that was what I was doing, but I would just shut it down. I have no interest in that whatsoever. I have no interest in awkwardness. I have no interest in pining. I have none of that.
No. Well, yeah, that would be terrible.
Because
But you can't
why has
pull, you
that
can't
happened to
do that.
you?
Well,
Other than
I mean, I don't know if
this
they,
situation, then you end up together.
well, this situation, yeah, I did reject her first. I mean, I don't know if it was rejection. It was more just like, if this is true, I just want to be friends.
Right.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me. I had that happen recently, actually. I've had, a little bit of that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then one person, we were friends and then talked about maybe dating, but I was like, I'm still not ready to date. Like maybe we can revisit this in like 6 months. And then I realized like, no, this isn't my person. And she was like, okay, cool. No worries. Like we're still like friends.
But no, you're not.
And now we're not friends. It was like a month after that, I got an Instagram message. It was like, or a text that was like, I have to take a break from our friendship with no
Yeah.
explanation. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, that's because I'm sure she was aware that you started dating this other person, and I think it's too much. And people can
Yeah.
try, you know what I mean, to be friends. They could try, but like, I think that's too hard for people because when it just would be like awkward all the time or
Yeah.
uncomfortable or sad.
Well, and it was hard too because trying to pursue a friendship with that person after I'd started dating someone else, and then
Right.
like I wanted to normalize it, but like that it didn't want to feel like it was like
Yeah.
rubbing it in her face, and so it did kind of
Yeah.
create some weirdness. I didn't realize how deep she had somehow gotten into where this bothered her that much, like
Right.
and so that's felt really weird. And I don't wish that on anyone. Is that, there was some about a year ago, I said this. I was like, I would love it if people just fawned all over me. And, I'd love it if my friends all just fell in love with me. And then I was like, oh God, no. Then I realized I would just end up with a lot of ruined friendships.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
exactly. And you don't want people around you. I mean, I'm sure some narcissists like that, I just would not want to be around people who had those kind of feelings. It would bother me. I wouldn't have it. I couldn't
Yeah.
stay, especially if I was married, I couldn't stay friends with somebody like that because I would just be walking a tightrope or being nervous and why would someone want to be friends with someone they were pining over?
I
Wouldn't
don't
that
know. I
suck
mean,
for
I've done
them?
it. I did it. I was pining over someone and I wrote all about it in my book. But our friendship was important to me too. And so I was like, I got to get those feelings under control. And eventually I did, They went away. They were sort of exacerbated by some external forces that pushed me in a direction that I, was not a good one. But, and if you're wondering what it is, get the soulmate strategy.
Get the book.
You
Read the
gotta read the
book.
book. It's fascinating. Anyways, but yeah, so and it was like I wanted to be friends, but I wanted to be friends without the feelings. So eventually
Yeah.
I was able to like the feelings just eventually went away. And It's fine. We're friends. As a matter of fact, we were texting like 1 second before we started this podcast because we're both trying to find neoprene socks because we're going hiking in a week and a half and water. And we wanted to know what kind of socks we're getting. So it's like, we're still actually very good friends and it's been years and I have no feelings. And as a matter of fact, I'm like, ooh, good thing we didn't get together. Cause we're not, I mean, she's a great human, but we're just not compatible at all. And especially not like I am with the person I'm with right now. And so I'm just, you know, sometimes what's that Garth Brooks song? Like, thank God for unanswered prayers. You know,
do I look like a person who listens to country music?
Garth Brooks is a crossover, but anyways, his song is basically
a nice guy.
I mean, he sings thank God for unanswered prayers. And and it's kind of cool because, you know, at one point when you want something so bad and then you don't get it and then you realize, oh, that was not meant for me at all. And so, but I've done that. And that's the only time I've ever had that happen. And I was like, oh, I just want the feelings to go away. They were exhausting. So, and they did. No, I don't have any of those. But yeah, it's weird. Good. Other people are like interested and.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That would be annoying and weird and awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it would. And then you never know if that person's really over you or whatever. I mean, I don't know. My friend is like, you know, the one that I'm talking about that I pined for a little bit, you know, I mean, she has to just take my word for it. But I mean, I think she's seen me with my person now and they've met and she's like, oh gosh, yeah, that's a good fit. So she knows,
yeah, there's no weirdness there.
No, there's no weirdness. But okay, so I'm going to go through some tips for if you have feelings for a friend and you want to pursue something. I'm going to go through some tips and then I want to get your thoughts on the tips and then I'll give you my thoughts on the tips about does this work? Okay. The first tip is if you have feelings for a friend and you want to pursue something, make sure that you have sorted through your own feelings so that you are sure they are genuine and that you aren't just missing your ex or feeling sexually deprived or just feeling lonely. How important is this? Yeah, smart.
Smart. Yeah.
How can you do that? How can you like go through your sort out your feelings and how do you know? How can you differentiate between like
maybe you need a therapist? Maybe you need to run it by other friends. Maybe you need to journal.
Yeah.
Figure that out. But you better figure it out first because you don't want to ruin a friendship because you were just in a bad space.
Exactly. Exactly. Work it through. You want to make sure that you and them are both physically and emotionally available for a relationship.
Smart. You can just have a conversation.
Yeah,
you don't have to say, "Are you available for a relationship with me?" You could just bring that up and talk about it, you know, without alerting that that's what you're doing.
I mean, they are your friends, so you will probably know this. Like, if they're in a relationship with someone, and
no,
or if they're in a relationship with someone and it's horrible and they're planning on breaking up with them, no,
right? Well, don't try and convince them just so you can get together.
Exactly.
Okay. That would be wrong. Don't be a homewrecker.
No, don't. All right. Make sure that they have told you and shown you somehow that they enjoy spending time together. Basically, read the room. If they're avoiding messages from you, they're ghosting you, they're canceling lots of plans on you.
Well, if someone can't read the room, then telling them to read the room is not going to help. And I think that's where they need help because like, if you can't figure that out, you have bigger problems.
Okay.
So, don't you agree?
Yeah, maybe asking a friend or something to say, okay, like, this is what's going on. I had a friend of mine at one point who was really interested in someone. And it wasn't a friend to romantic thing, but it was just interested. And that person was just not messaging them back very frequently. They just weren't engaged. So it was short answers. And it was one of those things where, you know, you always say, well, people are busy. Give them, you know, cut them some slack. But I also know that when you're really interested in someone, you do write back and you do.
Well, right. Like, well, I'm not talking. Because I did tell you to tell that person that you wrote your book about. And you did. And that person said their problem was that they said, like, not right now, or she put something, she didn't say no, I'm not interested. She like put something that left the door open. In fact, I was talking with a 13-year-old about it the other day. Like, if someone asks them out, which did happen, And I said, got to make sure you don't leave the door open, you know?
Right.
Like, you have to be clear that you're not interested and that it's not going to happen, you know, down the
Yeah.
road. So I think being really careful about that, but like verbiage is really important.
Yeah, it is. Like when that person, that friend was interested in me, not the one I'm with, but and I was like, okay, I might be interested. And then after a couple of days, I was like, I'm not, like, I'm just not. And I might be interested like in the future. And then I called them and said, like, I'm not interested and I won't be interested in the future. This, we're just going to be friends. There's no,
And
maybe this
hence
could grow into something.
the unfriending of you.
Yeah, exactly. But I was very clear. I was like, I didn't want to leave the door open. Like, well, maybe we can revisit this because no, I don't want to. I was like,
Yeah.
it didn't feel right. So yeah, but read
And
the
it would
room.
have been weird for everybody. But I think if you have to tell somebody to read the room, they probably are already having a hard time with doing that. And some people
Right.
aren't good at that. Some people just are not good at, like, you know. You have to train children. I mean, a lot of children are not naturally emotionally intelligent or intuitive. I mean, that they're naturally sociopathic. And so if they don't get that, and was I saying that? Did I say that on the podcast? Like, if like you go to college or whatever, and then you realize like the lives that people have had or the way they've been raised, you know, like
Right.
everyone is not raised in the way you are. Everyone is not like, all these relationships require work, because if we just assume that the other person is like us or grew up like us or whatever. And so, you know, with children, they don't all get the same parenting, you know? So a lot
Yep.
of people grow to be adults who did not get proper parenting as children and don't know how to read people and don't know how to, you know, like have relationships or be respectful to people in their home, that kind of thing. So I really feel that children have to be taught that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why there's a lot of adults who don't know how to read the room. You
Yeah.
know, like, how many times have you gone to like a social event and someone who you don't know, like, you know, maybe you're introduced to, comes up and talks to you and just they're boring you to death or they're encroaching on your space or whatever, and they just can't seem to read like the room, like, you're bored, like, stop talking, or you know. But
Right.
if you can't read the room and you don't know, like, is this person kind of inadvertently sending me signals that, like, don't cross this line? Like, ask a friend to read through the texts that your text exchanges or something,
Right.
or when you're out in a group, like, hey, have you seen any kind of reciprocity with this person with me? Or are they totally, you know,
Right.
trying to sit not next to me every time we go out, you
Right.
know? Okay, here's one. I want to know, this is sort of a debatable one. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are. If you have feelings for a friend, you want to pursue something, float a hypothetical that you could be together.
I'm asking for a friend. Quote unquote type of thing, conversation.
Could be, or like,
I
even
don't
like,
know.
I don't know, maybe even something as bold as like,
No,
we could
I'm much
date,
more,
or you know, something like that,
yeah,
where you.
no. I feel like you just need to be just straight up honest. I told you that. Just ask the person, which you did, and you got your answer. You didn't like it, but you got your answer. And I feel like, you know, that's, and then that person also with their verbiage left the door open. So I think me, no, I just would ask. I haven't had to deal with that, but you know, asking people in the past, like I've just done that. I don't hem and haw or worry or, oh my gosh, I might get rejected. I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. I mean, I think a hypothetical would, for me, I think I would probably not be able to word it well because I'm such a direct person. Like, what would you think if maybe you were my plus one at that event? You know,
Right.
people might think we're together. Would you be worried about that? You know, like,
Yeah, I would
what?
be annoyed if someone did that to me. I'd be like, what are you asking?
Right.
Just ask me. That's
Right.
how I would, you know, I just ask. I feel like people should just ask.
All right, so just be straightforward. Well, okay, here's the next one though.
Straightforward. Yeah.
Be honest and direct, which we both agree with, but don't go overboard. Like, if you confess your feelings, don't all of a sudden say, like, I can't live without you and you're the love of my life. Like,
Unless you're a lesbian.
well, that happens on the second date with your U-Haul. But, you know, when you're fessing up your feelings, it's just don't come
Well,
on
yeah, I
so
mean,
strong that you scare the other person off.
right. That would be scary and very teenage
Yes.
behavior.
I mean, if the other
Yeah.
person's like, I am interested too. And then, you know, three dates in, you can say something like this, but
right.
if you're confessing, it might be a little scary. And it, yeah. especially if the other person doesn't like you back like that. And they're like, you can't live without me being your partner. Okay. Well, I don't know how we're going to be friends then.
Well, that sounds like, that talk like that to another person that you're not in a relationship with, it would be very weird.
Right. This one, which I did not, well, I mean, I kind of did this, but tell them privately in person if possible. I told this person on the phone, but I did go along with the orchestration of something that was not my idea. It was my friend's idea, but I, you know, she was supposed to also leave. So we would have some privacy in the parking lot, you know, without her.
Right.
But tell them privately.
But that's so funny that even happened that way, right? That like your friend is supposed to orchestrate this and then they just stand there.
It was really, really weird.
Okay. Awkward.
Yes.
Yeah. That's called awkward.
Yep. All right. Here's another one. If they don't feel the same way, thank them for their honesty and don't backpedal or make a joke out of it.
Agree.
Yes. 100%. After having lived through this and I was very confused.
Yes.
I understand why people do this because I've had a lot of conversations with my current partner, but I certainly, you know, that can
it's better just to own up to it. Put your big girl panties on.
Big girl pants.
Yeah. All right. Just do it.
The other one, the last one is take space to either work through your feelings or move on from the friendship if you decide you might not be able to let those feelings grow. So if the person is not interested, make sure that you have enough space to either say, okay, this friendship isn't going to be okay for me right now, or say, I just need a couple of months or whatever you need, but understand that you might not just be able to go back to being like BFFs the next day.
Yeah, I think you should do that. Take space.
Yeah.
The whole thing could be so uncomfortable, you know?
Right. Right.
And then that person can say like, oh, it's not bothering me. And you could say, well, it is bothering me, or it's going to be too uncomfortable for me. And then, I mean, that's kind of the risk of friendship, right? It's also the risk of like any kind of like putting yourself out there. You know, you got to put yourself out there. Maybe it's not going to work out.
Right.
You know?
Yep. And that's what you have to decide, because I mean, you're in a position, you've got three choices in these things. You develop feelings for a friend. You can tell the friend and see where the chips fall. You can not tell the friend and die a slow, painful death of the feelings that are inside of you. Or you can take some space, or if actively, you know, kind of move away from those feelings and try to hope that they go away and you can go back to your friendship.
But that's my thing. What you just said, you can die a slow death and you can, and that's the other thing. It's like, here's the thing. Look at it this way. The universe is giving you an opportunity to say something. So you had some feelings, you express it to the person. They're not interested. That's, you don't have to take it personally. But if you sat there and pined away for months and months or years and years, and then you come to find out they're not interested in you, how many people did you lose out on meeting or, you know, potential relationship you could have had? This, not everything is for you. You know,
right?
And the not pining. Everything and everybody is for you, and the sooner you find out, the better. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know,
I would agree. And having been on the receiving end of someone who had feelings for me, and I didn't have those back, the receiving end of somebody who did have feelings for me, and I did have them back, and then on the giving end, where I gave, you know, said something to someone, and they didn't have feelings back for me. I mean, I really do appreciate that there was just a lot of honesty that eventually came out of all these situations, because, you know, in the one sense, the friend who had feelings for me stepped away from our friendship entirely. The friend I had feelings for, we stepped away for a little bit, took a little bit of space, but then we just kept being friends, and it just sort of transitioned to just friendship.
You're able to stay.
So either of those situations seems to work. And then, of course, you know, if you both have feelings, then that works too. But I mean, it is a tricky business.
Yeah.
But it can also be amazing. As I mentioned before, you know, I've met my match. I really have. Like,
life can be tricky business.
Yeah.
Right? Well, all of life. Being on this planet is tricky.
That's true. But I will say one thing is, if you have feelings for a friend and you don't choose to say something about them and you think that, you know, they're going to go away just naturally, and sometimes they do. While you still have those feelings, don't go out and date somebody else. It's not fair to them. And I, you know, having honestly done that. It's a bad call. It's just not,
right.
You know, you're not going to get over feelings for someone else by trying to develop feelings for a different person. It doesn't really work that way. It's not like replacement emotions. It doesn't work. So,
no, you have to do Coach Dorothy's breakup camp, even if you didn't have an actual breakup. Like if you need to move on from somebody, you have to figure out how to move on, you know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. All right. What's your last bit of advice for anybody who's struggling with
Speak
this,
up.
Thinking about it? Speak up.
Well, recognize, like, read your feelings, read your own self, read the room, and speak up. And don't go be a homewrecker. Like, maybe this time isn't right, but you don't have the right to, like, interfere in someone else's relationship either, you know?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, I would agree.
The universe will find a way to get you where you're supposed to be.
Well, and I've actually talked about it with my current partner. We're like, we were not in a place where the relationship that we would have had when we met, had we both been single, would be anything
right.
like the relationship that we have today. The universe
right.
needed us to go through a bunch of other things first and then come together now. And so, you know, there's a time and a place for things. And, you know, and that's the other thing too, is, you know, maybe somebody doesn't have feelings for you now, but in a year something develops between you. It's just, you know, it's kind of this divine timing. You have no idea when things are gonna be at. But don't sit and pine for someone and wait for them, hoping they change their mind. That's not what I'm saying, but you know, the timing.
Live happens. Your life in the meantime. Right?
Exactly. Live your life. Try to actively get over feelings if they're not reciprocated, and then, you know, go enjoy the world around you.
Right. Go enjoy the world around you.
Well, awesome. All right, cool. Well, we have had another lively discussion about this, and I know you've been wanting me to tell my story for a while. So,
Good. You got it out there.
Got it out there. It's my love story. So, all right. Well, for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.